but he also speaks to us through his sign in the universe, in ourselves. But most of us go on heedless, not paying attention to the sign. Myself, if we believe in a creator, Allah in creating babies have told us that he doesn't want us in a filthy environment. And shouldn't we like peace and orderliness rather than chaos and confusion? Allah has told us that. And should we pour in the baby's mind all kind of fancy fairy tales about how he was created? All these fancy fairy tales about how good things come? We're approaching now the Christmas in a big fairy tale about how gifts come to the children. We need children to love parents. If they want to do something to help the family situation today for men and for women, for relatives, they should declare Santa Claus outlaw. Say, this is no time to afford this kind of lot when children need to be drawn closer to their parents. Say, let us tell them on national TV that Santa Claus have stolen from you, have robbed your father, have robbed your mother out of the appreciation that is meant for your father and mother, that your father and mother work hard, and they will buy you this present, and they will put that present under a tree. It ain't no white, red, dressed up and up white man come down no damn chimney nowhere. Excuse my language. Ain't no fat-bellied, cherry-faced white man came down from nowhere and gave your child nothing. That your parents give you that. Now, love them on Christmas for working hard and trying to give you a little present. But they don't want to bring proper life, proper family life to the people as much as they want to bring dollars into their pockets from the lies that created us an impulse to just spend. Or if I don't do it, Santa Claus, you know, Santa Claus. We should go out there and take cross, or two sticks and cross. And every Santa Claus we see in the street, go to his head and put it on his head. Yeah, put the cross to his bloodsucker head. They say, hey, are you people Christians? They say, no, we're not Christians, but we think the cross has something to do with this Santa Claus. I'll take some cassie to throw on us and tell them the match is coming if you don't hurry up and undress. I have a cigarette lighter, something that won't go out if you throw it on it. Now, that's all in a little fun. Yeah, just having a little fun, that's all. But be careful having those Santa Claus down there. I don't care white or black. Putting the hand all in your baby's face. You don't know what to do. Might have syphilis or something worse. They don't get no big salary. They get them dudes cheap. And I remember white people, they used to think they could put their hand in our baby's mouth anytime. And it didn't have to be Santa Claus. You know, just speak to our child, stick his hand right in your baby's face. They didn't get by with that with us. We were some crazy Muslims under my father. I'm sticking his hand, hey, what you doing? Get your nasty, don't you put your nasty hand in my little brother's face. Get your bed. Yeah, get your hands out of my little brother's face, sucker. You're about to get a whipping. Yeah, my little brother Akbar, you know. I'm about 66 years old in here. So, old white man. Hi, let's put his hand out. Hey, what you doing? Get your hand out of his face. Don't put your nasty hands in his face. And my heart was saying, you know you don't like my brother. And I can see it in him. Now, some of them, you know, are nice. But the nice ones, they're intelligent enough to say, may I touch you? They won't just go stick their hand in your baby's face. That one to stick your hand in your baby's face, they ain't nice at all. It might be crazy. It won't matter what the case is. We should teach them a lesson. Crazy still need a lesson. Yeah. You know, they have different degrees of insanity, don't they? They do. And when you get down a very low, you're very, very much beneath the rational level of behavior. They call you like an animal. They identify you like on an animal level. Right? Then you get too much, you go much. Pretty soon, you're not even an animal. You just all out of order. You completely stray from nature. They can't find you in the natural classification at all. You crazy hell. But on a certain level, they say he's an animal, like a brute animal. Now, what you do to a brute animal to make him understand? You whack him if you have to, don't you? Right, you whack him if you have to. You got a lot of, most of the public now, about at least 45% of them, or maybe 55%. They've just turned into brute animals. And people say, oh, don't bother them, they say. No, don't bother them. Get a stick and whack him. Rather than let him take over my life, I ain't gonna let him take over my life. I'm gonna beat him back. Now, what we have been showing is that Allah is one Lord. He is a Rabb of us and everything. That is, the Evolver, Creator, and also the one responsible for that creation, rising up to higher levels of dignity. Higher levels of dignity and worth. That's the meaning of Rabb. Cares for it and raise it up. In fact, a term very close to it has been used for parents. Because isn't that the responsibility of parents? To take a child when that child is helpless and care for that child. Supervise that child's life and urge it on to greater and greater possibilities. You see? Now, Allah says in the Quran, there may be something you dislike while it is beneficial and good for you. And there may be something you like while it is harmful to you. And it says, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And it is Allah who knows, while you do not know. So you see what Allah is telling us here? That even our moral choices have been determined by Allah. Everything is determined. He created everything. He has determined everything. Even our moral choices. So don't be big-headed just because you say, I'm grown, or I've been to school. You know, some of us with college degrees, we act like little children. Oh, hell, I'm educated. I don't need nobody in religion telling me anything. have to be educated in this religion because you're educated in physics? A lot of people can manage physics, can't manage their lives. We find a lot of people on Skid Row who were not only students, but they were professional people. They had gotten their degree and then had started their practice. And we find him and his degree and his license also to practice. In the gutter, he's a winehead on Skid Row. So is that any proof that you know how to manage life just because you've got a degree? No, it's no proof. We have to understand that we need help. And many times we get so involved into a career, are so involved with our own personal private little project, that we lose sense and we can't realize anymore that we are in need ourselves of some supervision. And we should turn to Allah for that supervision and should respect Him. The Muslim is not to be big-headed. When we make the Hajj and we make the circles around the circuits around the Kaaba, we say, Allah, it is you who know, we do not know. So don't wait till you make Hajj to do that. Make the confession now. And make it any time you feel arrogant or big-headed. Please do not interfere with the brothers praying. Do not, that's not right. You can't do that. They're praying, you can't interfere with them. May Allah forgive us. So dear beloved people, when we make the circus around the Kaaba, we make that confession, we do not, Allah, it is you who know, we do not know. Whatever we have gotten it from you through your creation, your messenger, your prophets, etc. We don't know. So dear beloved people, we have not had good supervisors. Commercial white people, profiteering white people, went to the motherland and brought our ancestors over here. And they subjected them to the worst kind of human experiences, the worst kind of experience for living creatures. And then after declaring us to be free, they have not given us decent supervision. They have left us to bad environmental conditions. They have encouraged the development of bad environmental conditions for us. They have almost been willing to go to physical combat, to physical war, to keep us out of better environment. We haven't had decent supervision. Now, why should we look for that one white man or that one white woman that is Christ-like, that's sweet, and trust ourselves to them? When there are so many of us, all we need is just to show each other that we appreciate each other. And we have the resources, moral resources, spiritual resources, intellectual resources. We have all the resources right here among ourselves to establish proper people and give them proper roles, fitting roles in our own community. And they will be good models, good supervisors for us. You all tell me that you are proud of me. You're happy now. You got an imam. You got a leader you can trust. I like to hear that. But I would feel much better if I saw you trusting each other too. Because I'm one. I can die anytime. You have to trust each other. My dear brothers, we want to ask you to forgive us for interrupting you while you were praying. The brothers shouldn't have done that. We are sorry for that. Allah forgive us. Astaghfirullah. Allah forgive us. They shouldn't have bothered you while you're praying. The brother didn't know. He didn't know. Yes. So please forgive us. The Muslims have a right to pray in any masjid. If you say this is a masjid, any Muslim coming down that street has a right to come in this masjid and pray. We say in this religion, the masjid belongs to Allah, not to us. Once we establish a masjid, it's not ours as such. It's only ours to supervise and to see that the rules for that masjid are protected. And the rule is that any Muslim can come in here and pray. And if anybody come in here, whether you know him to be a Muslim or not, and he pray, you can't interfere with him. Because, again, the Quran, Allah established in the Quran and also in Hadith, some people were brought to Prophet Muhammad, and they were charged with something. And Prophet Muhammad says, Allah has not given me the power to look inside their breast and see what is there. If there's no evidence, then they're dismissed. You can't charge people on what you suspect. You got to charge them on what you know. All right. So much for that. I've been abroad in countries, and I go to any masjid and I pray. I've been alone more than once, traveling abroad in Muslim countries, and I didn't know anybody. I walk in the masjid, I pray, and nobody will stop you from praying. In fact, most of them, if they see you as a stranger, most likely you will be approached and somebody will welcome you and want to get to know you and introduce you to the rest of the people. Yeah. And you know, we're supposed to have a higher level of civilization over here, don't we? Yeah. Sometimes I think we ain't nothing but a savage beast dressed up in civilization. See, you can take a savage and dress him up like a Pope of Rome. He'll be a crazy wild savage up under all those Pope garbs. I think they had a few popes like that, didn't they? Yeah, I believe history tells us they had a few popes like that. They thought they were popes. These dudes were nothing but maniacs up under those garments. Savages. Now, getting back to the line of discussion, that is that Allah is the Rabb of everything, that we owe Him worship, appreciation for everything we have, because we could have nothing without Him. If He hadn't created the matter and the possibilities for that matter, we would have nothing. I was watching television this morning, and had a program on in South Africa exposing the evils of apartheid in South Africa. And I was impressed by a man. He's a black man, but he's really not an African. He's from India. I guess his people have lived there in South Africa for some time, but they have a sizable population of Indians there in South Africa. Anyhow, this reverend, he's a reverend, his name, Reverend Desmond Tutu, T-U-T-U. He impressed me with his courage. He's not afraid. He talked about how he had been threatened by the people who want to keep the situation as it is in South Africa. Said that this child got the phone call that was meant for him. Terrorized the child. But do you think he was ready to quit? No. He said they can't stop this. that God is behind it. He said, I'm not afraid. He said, on TV. It was good. See, they knew most of the African Americans wouldn't be up looking at that show. They'd be getting over the hangover or some heavy pork chop eating or something, or dissipating all night long or something, or fussing and fighting while the show is going on. In some of these homes, a lot of good programs pass them by. Television just left on blasting by itself. And they fussing and fighting. They leave the doors off. Now I'm not saying that all of us are like that. It's not all of us, but too many of us are like that. Life just gone to pot. Crazy. Yes, so he said, God is the Lord of liberation. That's what he said. And that's true. That's what we have to understand as people of religion. That Allah is the Lord of liberation. As they say in Christianity, God is the God of liberation. What do you think the purpose of God sending prophets is for? To free man? To free people. To free them from all unjust restrictions. And the thing that restricts us most from reaching our excellence that Allah created us for is what? Ignorance. So the greatest liberating process is true, pure education. Isn't that true? You educate a person, you give them their own life into their own hands. And that's freedom. But a fool can't be trusted even with his own life. Society has a moral obligation to protect the fool from himself. That's true. Allah has placed that moral obligation upon society. So, dear beloved people, let us understand that for Muslims, that statement is not only true, but that statement has clearly been taught to us by Prophet Muhammad, that Allah is the God, the Lord of liberation. He wants us free. He wants to free the great creative powers, the human potential for excellence in all of us, and establish us on sound rational principles as well as on the principles of faith. Never give up faith now, because he has not created any man so wise or so big that he can ever get to that point where he say, I can live without faith now. I'll live only with my rule and my square and my compass, etc. No. Allah hasn't created any human being with that kind of potential. You will always have a need to be faithful. And faith is the best life saver for the human being. Faith in Allah, faith in His messenger, faith in all the prophets, all the messengers of God, faith in His scripture, His pure scripture. Faith in whatever He has promised. Don't you know man can't live without promise? Allah has created in our nature to pursue promise. We pursue promise. We're in pursuit of promise. You don't know you're going to get a wife. You're pursuing something that is promised by society. Isn't that not true? Or promised by your own rational thinking. Your rational thinking hasn't proved it, but your rational thinking promised you that. I can get a wife. And you don't know when you're going to be successful. You try, you miss that time. You miss again. Pretty soon you give up and try out a man. You go freakish. Say, well, I'll get me a girl. I'll get me a girl boy, since I couldn't get a girl. And if you had stuck with God's promise, you wouldn't have gone astray like that. And Allah says, the devil, he invites us too. He promises us. He promises us and he invites us. But he threatens us when he invites us. He threatens us with fear of poverty. Is that right? With poverty and fear, he threatens us. Say, or if you don't, yeah, you can be righteous if you want to, but if you be righteous, you ain't going to have no money. If you be righteous, you ain't going to have no good living. So that's the devil threatening us with poverty. Is that not right? Yeah. But says Allah, he promises us, and he offers us what? Mercy and forgiveness. And he offers us a garden whose width expanses as the heavens and earth. He offers us immeasurable possibilities for progress and growth. Oh, yes. And he promises us forgiveness, too, for our sins. That's Allah. Praise be to Allah. Our dear beloved people, we mentioned the sign in the birth of the little baby that tells us that we must have an environment that is conducive to clean morals, good virtues. We must have an environment that is conducive to intelligent thinking. Baby doesn't like to be thrown in an environment of confusion. So we need an environment that is conducive to intelligent thinking. That means we should get a lot of this old wild music out of our life. A lot of these old wild songs that put in us wild impulses. That's all they do. They clock your behavioral nature to respond to wild impulses. And you wonder how come we're down economically. You wonder how come we're down as an ethnic body of people. It's because we are the target of this world's arrows of doom, filth, confusion, violence. They're targeting our soul, our sensitivities, all the time for the arrows of those influences. And we should guard ourselves against it. Come together as Muslims. Reject the world, follow the Quran. And don't be too proud to say that I have a man that I respect to tell me what is right, to tell me when I'm living right. I have a man that I can go to, and he has advised me. I accept his advice over my own. I accept his advice over Professor so-and-so. Don't be ashamed. Don't be too big-headed to do that. We should accept our imam's advice over the advice of the worldly people. And if we have intelligence middle grasp that we think is equal to our imam or better, then you should be busy educating yourself in the language of the Quran. So that you will become a leader for people who need you. That's right. Yes. And the moment you see yourself, you have excelled, you have passed your imam, you're too big for him, you really need to teach him rather than he needs to teach you, you should bring it to his attention. In a friendly way. In a brotherly way. Come as a kind friend to him, not as a person trying to take his place or as somebody resenting him being in the position. And if you can't convince him, then your moral obligation is to convince the people that the community is being held up because it is overlooking better leadership. Don't we have that moral obligation? Certainly. You may say, well, post that imam is you, brother imam. I'm ready right now. Come on. This is a heavy, heavy road of, what do you say, a tough city is a heavy road to hoe. A hard road to hoe or something like that, they say. This is a hard road to hoe, man. Come on, if you got the ability, let's discuss it, because I'm ready to be your assistant. Oh, yes, I'm not joking. I'm for the progress of this community. If I see a person who can do a better job than me, I'm going to become his helper. That's right. If it's a sister, I'm going to become her helper. Say, well, sister, I'll be the man, but please advise me. You got more sense than I got. And find some position for her, too, in the leadership. That's right. Then we'll grow. We have environmental responsibility, environmental consciousness, and then there's a need to progress, go forward, advance that environment, carry that environment to greater and greater possibilities of growth. Is that not right? So, if to Abraham, what were we told? That God held out a promise. Is that not right? Promise. God held out a promise, the promise to Abraham. What is that promise? That his seed, and we know it by the Bible and also by the Quran, that seed here does not mean seed in the test tube or seed on the laboratory slide. Seed here means those who follow in the spirit, in the character, in the way of the prophet. Okay? So it says his seed would inherit the earth. Is that not right? And he directed him to appoint out to him a promised land. And you know it must have been meant more than just the vicinity of Jerusalem. Because the prophets marched all over that land and never said they got into the promised land. Moses, he led the people out of Egypt, and he never said he got into the promised land. Joshua, he went into Jerusalem, into that vicinity. Is that not right? But still the people were looking for the promised land, right? Israel was set up over there as a government at one time in Jerusalem under King Solomon, right? And at that time, it is believed that they thought they had reached the promised land, right? Why? Because they had got what? A civilized government with a world vision, universal view, and world focus. And a plan to advance not only themselves, but a plan to advance the principle of peace in the world. Isn't that right? You understand religion. You know that this was what the Jews had come into, they thought. But their behavior was wrong. They failed this idea. They put too much material concerns on their nation. And history tells us of the Jewish kingdom that it fell because of heavy taxation. This is the history. The kingdom in Jerusalem under the Jews, it fell because of heavy taxation. They got too greedy for the material things. So, we know what their direction was. Their hope was for material, what you call it? Acquisition. The acquisition of material things and for political dominance, so that they would be able to control the material goods on the earth. And they were, through that, they thought they could establish peace. Haven't that same idea been passed down to the Western society? They think that the way to get peace is to first conquer territory. And once you have the territory and you control the natural resources, then you can enforce the peace. Why, what man was that in the history of our country here lately, the President of the United States? I forget which one it was. It might have been Roosevelt. But anyway, under one of them, In that time, it was said, boast, they boast. We could police the whole world. That was the boast they made. See, we can police the whole world. And you know, before our country came into that arrogance, the British Empire, what did it say? The sun never sets on our territory. That's what they said. Sun never sets on our territory. And if you, many of you may not know this, but the Promised Land was interpreted by the Western world to mean Western democracy. That this was the New Jerusalem. Western democracy became the New Jerusalem. That's why they picked up the same kind of aspirations that the Jews had in Jerusalem under the so-called kingdom there. They picked up their aspirations. Not only did they pick up their aspirations, they picked up their policies. They picked up their principles of government. They picked up their policies and they picked up their goal, which is world dominance. World dominance. The confiscation of properties, of continents and resources. This is terrible. I shouldn't say confiscation, because gives the connotation that they had a right to do that or something. No, you say the rob, the theft. The theft. That's what it was. Nothing but theft. Stick up. Bold stick up. You just take continents from people. Nations. Continents. And justify it among them all the people in their leadership on that principle or that idea that God has put man in the world to rule. And you can only guarantee the peace if you are controlling the factors in the society. Material factors, political factors, whatever. They want to control all the factors operating in the society to justify them getting in a position to guarantee the world peace. Now, we should understand that our religion is against that. Every religion has two major focuses. One focus is on morality. The other focus is on progress. And they accept responsibility for both. Civilized governments, they accept the responsibility for both. To keep the moral life for their society, and also to guarantee the line of progress for their society. This is the right of government, isn't it? This is the right of government. The right is in the people, in a democratic order. The right is in the people, but they carry out that right through government process with a leader, a president, or somebody over them, right? Yes, you know that's the way it's done. And the voice of the people works through their leaders to preserve the moral order of society and progress the welfare of that society. You see? So we all have that. Now, we have to understand as Muslims that we have that too. And in concluding, I would simply say that we have to see our religion in its principles. In its principles. One, Allah, no associating any God with him, son, nobody. Mother, sister, brother, nobody. He has no family. He's one. He didn't come that way. He didn't come by family. He created the world and everything. And we don't call the creatures the children of God. We don't call any Muslim or Christian, nobody, children of God. We call them the dependents of God. We are Allah's dependents, not his children. Children suggest a sex kind of thing. We get children from sexual mixing. That's how we get children. And those who get children are themselves inadequate or insufficient That's why they have to go to get made up to get children. They need each other to get children. Allah didn't need nobody to make the creation. So that's wrong to put God's creative principle in that sex kind of picture, sex kind of concept. It's wrong. This Quran rejects that. It says it is an outrage. That's what Quran says. Say it is an outrage that they say the beneficent God has taken on a woman begotten a child. An outrage. And you know, I don't like to do this, but sometimes, you know, God does many signs. And I do believe our Elijah Muhammad was a sign too. Whether we are in accord with the teachings of Quran or not, if we have good intentions, God will use us as a sign. If we are trying to do right, God will use us as a sign. And many things that come from us will be helpful to people. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, why would God go and make a child or a woman pregnant with his child and tell a man he ain't supposed to do that without marrying? No marriage. In fact, I hope it is. How many Christians here? Believe me, I respect your religion. But your religion is loaded with myths. And in the myth, it's almost funny. So excuse me if I offend anybody. You know, it says that the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. And in another place, the Bible says the Holy Ghost overpowered Mary. And she became pregnant with a child of the Holy Ghost. Now that's a simple rape charge. That's a simple and clear rape charge. If you overpower a woman and she become pregnant with your child, that's rape. Now, I'm not joking. I'm not making fun. I'm simply stating it as it is. Any book that says something overpower a woman and she became pregnant with the child, now they will even lock you up if you're married to a woman and you take her by force. So it says the Holy Ghost overpowered her and she became pregnant with the child of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, they made this language. Don't you know King James called together many experts in psychology to make the language so that it inspired good people to go right, but feed wicked minds to do wickedness? So if you have any wrong inclination in you, a wrong tendency to be a pervert, or tendency to be a freak out person, you will subconsciously get the message that God is raping Mary. And without consciously knowing that, you will go out and become the most notorious rapist on earth. Because in your subconscious, God will be established there as the first raper or rapist. I know a lot of you can't take this. But believe me, you can't live without it from this day on. You can't run from it no more. Once you've heard it, you cannot escape it. It's going to bring you back to right thinking. Or it's going to destroy you. It's going to do one or another. It'll either bring you back to right thinking, or God will destroy you for your disobedience. Dear people, Lord Elijah Muhammad said that this is a poison book. A poison book. And I recall him also saying that the Bible is the graveyard of my people. That's what he said. The Bible is the graveyard of my people. And believe me, in my young days, the people who were the worst off, the least responsible for their life and their community, was those who seemed to have been most devoted to the church life. That's the truth. Now, maybe it wasn't true for your neighborhood, but that's the truth for the neighborhood I came up in. I lived on 61st and Michigan as a youngster. There was a big Catholic church on the left side. A big Presbyterian church right in front of us. But most of our people didn't go to those two churches. Those two big churches were for just a few people who thought themselves to be seditious. If you wanted to find our church, you had to go to the corner store, to the house church, to a two-story house church, or to a sofa. And if you want to find most of them, you could walk two blocks from Wabash, Michigan, pardon me, where we live. We lived on Wabash too, but this is another time, 53rd one. You could walk two blocks over to State Street, and you find just loads of churches. They were just lined up behind each other. Church, 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 church. And that's where most of our people went, to those churches. Little storefront churches, big Baptist church somewhere on South Park somewhere, you know. And most of the people that went to those churches, they were the poorest people in Chicago. Not only the poorest, also the most culturally deprived people in Chicago. Yes, most culturally deprived people in Chicago. They could hardly speak good English. Many times the preacher couldn't speak good English. He'd be preaching and his English would be terrible. They had all the religion, but little sense, little cultural upbringing, little intelligence, no money, no business establishment. I'm talking about the great majority, almost 100% of them. Yeah. So, dear beloved people, we should understand that we have to be responsible for our environment, for our moral life, for the moral life in the environment, for intelligence in the environment, and also for direction in the environment. We have to be responsible for progressing our environment. We shouldn't be satisfied to have this mess yet here. Oh, this is an accomplishment. You know, most of the African-American and poor white are poor other, most of the poor people, period. Most of the poor people, when they get a physical establishment, when they get a big physical edifice that looks rich, oh, they think that they have achieved it all. All they want then is just to raise their children. They want to be buried in by this congregation. They want to have their funeral in this church. They want their daughters to marry in this church. And they want the babies to be announced in this church. And they want that to happen for generation to generation. They have finished. All they want is this edifice. Muslims, you have to progress. You have to go back and look at the record and say, are we going forward or backwards or stopping? How many youngsters we had graduate this year from high school? How many youngsters we had graduate this year from elementary school? How many youngsters we have go to college this year? How many youngsters we had finishing college this year? How many people are moved up into higher places of responsibility in the business world, in the political arena, in the political society quarter? How many people moved up this year? How many moved up there? Are we progressing or not? We have an obligation to do that. We should study Islamic principles and see our religion in the focus of Islamic principles. And then we have to also recognize that Prophet Muhammad's main role is the role of an educator. His main role is the role of an educator. We know that he fulfilled all the roles. He was a soldier. He was a general. He led the army when they had to fight the battles. He regulated the economy. He guaranteed freedom, civil law. He established the civil law for the people. We know he fulfilled all of these roles. But what was he characteristic of more than any other thing? An educator. He's a teacher. A teacher. Teacher of revelation and teacher pointing the way to unlimited fields of knowledge and resources. That's who he was. That's the promised land. That's the promised land. The promised land is coming into the sciences and coming into the production, the unlimited production that's possible with the tools of science. That's the promised land. Science is not just material science, spiritual science, political science, all of the sciences. And who was it that brought the light of the sciences back to the world, not only to Arabia, but to the world? It was our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him. He was the one. A man who's called the unlettered man, the unlettered messenger prophet, wasn't educated in the world. But God inspired him and gave him the tools of knowledge. I don't believe he couldn't read. I don't shake the world telling them that the imam said he doesn't believe that Prophet Muhammad couldn't read. I'm telling you, I don't believe that. And I'd like to share this with you because I love you. If I didn't care nothing about you, I would die having this in my heart. But I love people. And I wouldn't want you to go along here crazy thinking Prophet Muhammad couldn't read. What it means is that he couldn't read scripture to interpret it. He had no insight into the signs of God and into the scripture. But Allah inspired him. And Allah taught him how to read. And God guided him to the hidden knowledge and to the sciences. And made him a messenger for the whole world. And he led the whole world back into life of civilization and science. This is a fact of history. And accomplished it in a period of about 11 or 12 years. For 10 or 11 years, they were persecuted and held down. They couldn't do anything. Then he went to Medina. Allah opened up room there. The companions, the Ansar, they welcomed him in Medina. And with the help of a few people, he established an Islamic society in Medina. And within about 11 years, the light of that Islam rose so bright that it began to topple the leadership of the world. Yes, that's what happened. And their scholars and their bright men turned from the citadels of learning under their empire, and they turned to the knowledge that was coming out of the mission of Prophet Muhammad. And because of that, Europe was rebirthed. Europe was reborn. The Enlightenment, the Renaissance, the Arabic numbers that we have, algebra, chemistry, astronomy, all of these are Arabic terms. The cause of the revelation coming to Muhammad the Prophet, who could not read. Now you understand what we mean. He could not read. Assalamu alaikum. May Allah bless us.
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.